It's Monday, it's noon, unless you're listening to this at some other time, which you can because it is the internet. That's how the show should start every week. Producer going, burr, burr, burr.
It's like, that's my version of if you're on a farm and you have a rooster wake you up.
I thought it was like Mr. Face from Nick Jr. Burr, 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 burr. That, here's cunt jokes.
That creepy fucking thing.
He was not creepy, he was nice.
It was very creepy.
I liked him. He was a welcoming part of my day.
I've once napped, I think, in the middle of the day and then woke up with that face. Burr, 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 burr. Hello! I don't even know what the fuck he sounded like anymore. I don't even remember.
What's your stance on Stick Stickly?
I love him.
Good. All right. Our entire relationship
was... Write to
me,
Stick Stickly, P.O. Box 963, New York City, New York State, 10108.
Now, for those who don't know, I'm about to get on one knee and propose marriage to this woman.
No, that's actually pretty sad that I remember that. And no idea what, like, what's going on with ISIS. Like, I have no idea about a majority of the facts of World War I, and yet I can remember that. And I know the entire movie, My Cousin Vinny, backwards and forwards.
Well, when it comes to, you know, ISIS, we can figure out every Thursday on FX. And when it comes to World War I, all you need to know is that some guy who was named after a band got shot and killed. And then there was the Ottoman Empire, which involved furniture.
Full of furniture for some reason.
If you listen really closely, you can hear those two trains collide. It was the southbound.
I'm the one that knows that special backwards and forwards. You've seen half of it. I never understand it when I'm quoting it.
What special?
Exactly!
Because we were talking about
Eddie Izzard special. That's where that fucking joke comes from.
Oh, I'm sorry that I made an Ottoman Empire joke that 8 million other people have made.
He made it first in 1999, so fuck
you.
All
right, I will give deference to Eddie
Izzard.
You were
10.
Okay.
You didn't know what the Empire, you didn't know what an Empire was.
I knew of the Empire State Building.
You didn't know what an Empire was. You were 10.
How do you know? How do you know what I didn't know and didn't know at 10? Look, you give me that inquisitive face. I was smarter at 10 than I am at 25. I can prove that. If I got 10-year-old Matt Ryan and I pulled him into the life of 25-year-old Matt Ryan, he would think I am either the best person or the worst person. Because as the chubby fat kid at the time who loved professional wrestling to an uncomfortable degree... It was an uncomfortable degree.
Still an uncomfortable degree.
It is, but I'm not watching, was it, Women of Wrestling Unleashed on Channel 9 on
Jerking
a portable
off
TV.
Horribly?
No, oh. No, not yet. That was a couple years later. no, but it was bad. At one point, I was in Sunday school for a week at two different times. I was in there for a week two different times. And I wanted to watch this pay-per-view. I was so excited for it because I saw it in the newspaper because I read a newspaper at 10 years old. I don't even read a fucking newspaper now, 15 years later. And I work in the news, which is sadder than anything else. and I saw something called Legends of Wrestling. And I got very excited.
It's a video game, right?
No, this is before the video game. It's the same exact thing with the fucking video game. Got very excited for it. Got very hyped up for it. Fucking terrible.
Mm.
It was, you know that on Botchamania when Jake the Snake Roberts said, you want to play 21, I'll play 22.
Is that on that?
Yep.
Oh, okay.
If you watch
Where
it,
did Hawk come from?
I don't know.
In Botchamania. If anyone knows that, please tell me.
Yeah, tweet us at...
Botchamania guy no, doesn't answer, so I want Hawk. I want to know where that came from in his videos.
85 people are going to give us an answer because it's something Botchamania related. It is, to me, as a member... of the pro wrestling fan base and a member of the pro wrestling community, it makes me so happy that Botchamania caught on in the way that it did, but it also surprises me that it hasn't been brought down yet. Not by the wrestling people, not like the WWE or any of the companies that they use clips from, but that from the pro wrestling...
They've tried. That guy's had a lot of issues with website.
Well,
like,
yeah.
The website being up there, I know there are several times where it's been...
He's rotated through accounts.
Yeah, exactly.
Well, because he's using other people's content. I understand why people are bringing it down.
I don't, because you... When you watch that, you fucking know damn well why he's using those clips. And it's not just... It's not to make... Like, I don't think he's making money off it.
He is. He's got a Patreon. He's got a Patreon account, and he's got...
It's technically... in parody.
No.
Therefore, they should be used.
All right.
It's free range.
You're not getting an argument from me about Botchamania not exist. I want Botchamania and I need Botchamania
to exist.
I'm just saying
I don't understand when people get mad at that shit. I don't. I'm like, that is our... parody way. Like, it should be, it's fine. Just fucking relax. That dude is not taking money out of anybody's pockets.
He's probably putting money into people's pockets. Yeah. More people know about John Zandig from Botchamania than they do from CZW.
No, it's because of him that we went to a CZW show. Like, I went out of curiosity because we kept watching, like, for some reason, most of the fuck-ups are from CZW on Botchamania, and that's why we went. Big we shit. Have to see if they screw up as much. This is going to be awesome. And they didn't. It was actually a very good show.
Yes.
But CZW that's why. Has quality content. What?
CZW has quality content. Like,
yeah, I don't understand. So I don't understand any type of company looking at someone using small clips of theirs. Like, oh, we're going to take this guy down. Nobody's taking fucking money away from you. I don't understand that. I don't understand if you get in trouble for using. I still understand if you get in trouble for using music. Like a fan-made video, I don't understand that.
It's
or
because
a sketch, I don't get
it. It's because, well, on the terms of the wrestling thing, they don't. Most companies probably don't like themselves being taken that. They take themselves that seriously to where they don't. It's double-sided because people either don't want them to be insulted as Stephanie fiddles with her glasses. She got them caught.
My
in her
hair's
hair.
Caught. Go ahead.
While I'm giving this serious
don't
dissertation.
Mind me.
No,
don't
but it's
mind me.
there's the nudniks. Who don't want to have fun, and then there's the business people who don't. And it's shitty, but I understand it. But going back to my original point that I forgot about.
It's probably for the best.
No, but the reason why I'm surprised is because internet wrestling fans ruin everything they love.
Oh.
And I'm surprised that Matthew and the people of Botchamania have been allowed to continue to create content without the people on the internet basically turning Frankenstein's monster in on itself.
Maybe it's because he's British.
That could be it. he's like the Hugh Laurie of wrestling fans. Just in the meek sensibilities, not in the getting caught by getting fucked by Divine Brown in Hollywood Boulevard kind of way.
Okay, well, that was Hugh Grant, not Hugh Laurie.
I thought I said Hugh Grant.
You said Hugh Laurie.
Well, I apologize to Hugh Laurie.
Yeah, you should.
Look, they're British and their name is Hugh. Pardon me for getting them confused. They all sound alike.
They have extremely different film.
I know. One's in a jazz band and the other one was in About a Boy. I know.
Yeah.
That's what he's most famous for, right?
Yes. His jazz band and his novel that no one's read. Yeah.
Really?
Absolutely.
You know, that's how I heard of him. It wasn't because of House or Fry and Laurie or the Cambridge Footlights. No. Because of his St. James Infirmary cover.
You didn't hear him because of that either. You heard that because of me. I'm sure you heard.
I knew of a bit of Fry and Laurie before I started dating you. I watched it on Netflix about a year before we started dating.
Mm-hmm.
I will pull the I am talking to Netflix right now. Reed Hastings, you son of a bitch.
Mm-hmm.
I know the guy who runs Netflix. I know him by name. Reed, this is Matt talking to you.
Mm-hmm.
I need you to do me a favor. I need you to deep dive into my Netflix account. I need you to find when I watched a bit of Fry and Laurie, and I need you to report back to me.
Mm-hmm.
I also need you to admit that Flixster was a terrible idea, and I will give you a hug and a hey penny. That's all that they want is a hug and a hey
penny. I was reminded when you said your 10-year-old self would look at you, mine would still go, oh, you got fatter. That's insane. We're supposed to stop this at age 12.
No, I think 10-year-old you would look at me and say,
eh.
Just, oh, you could do better. You're talking with him while he's shirtless in pajama pants. I don't mean to ruin the illusion to anybody, but I'm sitting in her apartment wearing no shirt and pajama pants and talking into a microphone. This is where romance lives, folks.
Mm-hmm.
This is where romance lives.
I think 10-year-old Stephanie would be very happy that someone liked her.
Yeah, 10-year-old Matt would think the same thing.
No one liked her.
No, like 10-year-old. People liked me, but they weren't friends. But
I had someone who I'm pretty sure liked me in fifth grade because his friend would always like allude to it. And I always picked up on, like, a lot of social cues. People normally don't, even when I was little. So I kind of knew he liked me, and I totally didn't feel the same way back. I'm like, oh, well, of course. Because we both liked, we both would talk about Monday Night Nitro the night after it happened. We'd always ask each other, like, hey, did you see this? Yeah. Like, that's what
Hey, man, did you see when Glacier fought Mortis? That was fucking awesome. That's 10-year-old flirting at its finest, and that's how I flirt now, and that's sad.
Yes.
You want to watch Raw?
No.
Come on.
That's how we met now.
Yeah, that is.
So it made perfect sense. Like at 10, I'm like, if I find someone that wants to watch with me, yay! I was more concerned about finding a friend, like a female friend that watched it, because I was the only girl I knew who did.
Mm.
I had one friend that I met in fifth grade, and I mentioned Hogwild. I don't know why. Just WCW Hogwild. And she knew what I was talking about. I go, you're a fucking unicorn. Oh, my God. Let's be best friends.
And then she got
annoyed with me because I liked wrestling more than her. Like, she got tired that when I would talk about it.
Well, fuck her.
Yeah, that was my thought. I'm like, what do you want me to talk about?
This shit's awesome.
What? I don't know. Yeah, and then she I would always lovingly call her the giant because she was so tall for a 10-year-old. She was, like, as tall as the teacher. She was so tall. It was insane. I await the
photoshops that come from that depiction of just you dressed up, photoshopped onto Jimmy Hart's body, standing next to the giant, and that was your fifth grade class photo.
That's what it was. No, I mean...
Did you wear airbrush jackets at 10? Because if you didn't, I'm going to be sad.
I think, no, you know what though? I think there's a photo of me in this outfit. My mom found two sets of these where it was a shirt and these pants, these shorts that were like stretchy shorts.
Oh no.
That matched.
Oh no.
One was like a coral color and one was like a pink color and they both had like little fishies.
Oh no.
That's what I wore. And there's a photo of me in it. I don't know if that was airbrush, but the color looked like it was. That could have been the closest thing to it.
Oof. And you and I both had the same aspiration when we were in the fifth grade. We both wanted to be Bobby the Brain Heenan.
No.
Well, you liked Bobby. You called the WCW hotline.
No, when I was 8 years old, I called asking if they needed a child manager.
Yes.
Because in my genius, for some reason, I thought that was fucking genius. But it was also because Ric Flair brought his son on. I go, yes. Well, you have a child wrestler now, so you need, like, a child manager.
All right.
I remember, shut up and let me talk. You've had people complain about that. I remember calling and being like, oh, no, this is a legitimate question. If I explain it really clearly, maybe not understanding that's not what the hotline was for in the fucking least bit. You don't call a hotline for, like, booking ideas. But I was 8 years old. I don't know. And I remember telling the guy and the guy laughing just ever so slightly at how cute I was. Like, oh, no, honey. No, that's not what we do. I don't remember the rest of the conversation, but I just remember the guy, like, slightly laughing because, oh, this cute little girl doesn't know what she's talking about.
I want to see that happen now. I will pay.
You don't want to see that happen. Everyone would shit on that. That'd be a terrible idea, but they would let a child in the ring. And child would probably be terrible.
I just wanted to find some whimsy in my life.
Oh.
Allow me to have some sense of whimsy in this shit fuckhole that is my life in pro wrestling.
Although I think she would be shocked that, probably not as shocked because she liked it when she was 10.
Yeah.
Like, oh, you're still watching it. Good. Like, that makes sense.
Yes. Then we show her just what happened between 95 and now.
Hey, what happened? We had a plan. What the fuck? I know, sweetie. I know.
Just go buy her some ice cream.
Like, why can't you sing yet? You had a plan. I know. I'm sorry.
Oh, man.
Well, I thought you were getting into lessons in middle school. I know. Lots of things happen in middle school. You really start to hate yourself in about a year. You don't understand. You get really, really depressed. And then it comes, like, you get better in high school, but then you're still way behind everyone else. Like, developmentally and self-esteem-wise, you're very behind. What about, are the cats still alive? Look, let's go get ice cream.
No.
It's okay. Let's not talk about that. But you're in New York. Yeah, I'm close to New York. That's a good thing. Did we go to school in New York City? You know what? Let's talk about that ice cream. Let's go get that ice cream. Don't worry about it. You ever heard of Long Island? It's okay. Totally, absolutely close to Long Island and not a lie perpetuated by Hofstra University that they're only 45 minutes from the city. No. It's fine. But no, it's fine. You're redheaded now. Yeah, that's the big change. That's the only change between 10 years old. You still have an overwhelming sense that the world around you is just caving in and you don't really relate to anybody? Yeah, that's still the same.
Oh, fuck.
That's still the same? Yeah, that's still the same. So... people don't really change. They just grow boobs. and the brain stays the same. What happened? Is this a fever dream I had?
Oh, my face hurts. I just want to give you a hug. I don't want to do the show anymore. I just want to give you a hug and have ice cream and apologize to you. I was going to say, at least you have Chubby, but...
We have a dog now? Yeah, we have a dog now. Okay, I'm happy. Yay, I'm going to go back in the time machine.
I feel so bad right now. Like, why? This is not a bit. This is not me playing a character. This is me being myself. Because I love you so much. And I know that pain. I know every drop of that uncomfortable pain that we all just sat through together as a family. Because everybody out there listening, you probably know everything that Steph just said because you went through it too. This is your weekly support group in depression, anxiety, and cock jokes.
And Hofstra alumni.
Yes. That guy still owes me fucking $10, though.
That guy?
The one...
The president of Hofstra?
Yeah, well, Stuart Rabinowitz owes me more than $10 fucking dollars.
Oh, yeah. That, he owes all of us.
That motherfucker. That school worked me like they were Vince McMahon. This is the episode where we just shit on Hofstra for 45 minutes.
I'm fine with that.
Because I had the choice between Emerson and Hofstra.
Oof, bad choice.
Emerson accepted me. I got in.
Why Hofstra?
Because I was fucking stupid, and I looked at the radio station, and I looked at the fact that it was close to home, and I wanted to stay in New York.
Boy. That's not New York.
I know. Because I stayed in Brooklyn, because I did that commute every day.
Like I said, I don't give a shit. That place is not New York.
No, it's not. It's its own fucking time zone.
Yeah.
If you've ever been to Hofstra University... Getting there is its own little mission in futility. Because you have to take the Long Island Railroad to Hempstead, which is no problem because I took the train from Atlantic Avenue. This is New York centric. So if you love
New York, go ahead.
You take the train.
You should play a little jingle that's like New York segment. And then you can keep talking.
Just put just that voice under No Sleep from Brooklyn. Just cut it in and out.
Burr, burr, burr.
I'm going to put my glasses back on because I took them off halfway through that whatever that was. That emotional respite from my girlfriend because I couldn't take it anymore. I felt a mix of jubilant, uncomfortable, and I just wanted to hug everyone I care about. And just buy everybody ice cream.
What were you saying about...
because I the trip there every day is like 2 hours.
Yeah.
And then you take the train to Hempstead, which I was told when I started going to WRHU as a student, because I had to go to a class every week at night. Don't go to Hempstead train station after dark.
No.
Because even in the morning, crackheads everywhere!
Yep.
There is... one drug addict for every 0.6 Hofstra student. That does not count the students at Hofstra. You're your own fucking cesspool. All of you, not all of you, there's some good people there.
Majority of you.
Then you take that bus, the Blue Beetle,
yeah.
Which I think is a retrofitted command bus from World War II.
I just thought it was a prison bus.
It should be. It was essentially a converted for New York, cheese bus for those playing along at home.
The fuck is a cheese bus? Is it as awesome as it sounds?
No, it's what we hood rat children in the New York public educational system called a school bus. We called it a cheese bus.
That's not cool. That's not even a cool nickname.
It is not. We were children.
That's just like, oh, that's yellow cheese. It's the cheese bus. That's fucking awful.
We were children. Was there like an 8-year-old naming committee in your school district?
I'm just saying you could be a little more creative in calling it.
Fuck you. Have you been inside a New York public school? It's depressing. It's where creativity goes to die. I have seen art teachers cry. I saw a high school.
Well, because they have students that think it's clever to call something a cheese bus.
It's not clever.
I think it's your. Yes, that's my point. I think it's your fault. Anyway, you're riding the banana bus, or whatever the fuck it's called.
The Blue Beetle, transitioning.
The Blueberry Bus.
Yes, the Blueberry Bus. I was riding the Magic Bus with Roger Daltrey. And you ride the Blue Beetle from across the street from the Hempstead train station.
Not enough blue foods.
Not enough blue
foods. I can't think of another one to make fun of him with right now. So that's what's happening here.
Just reference to Carlin bit.
Is that enough?
Getting on the Blue Beetle, and then you make that sad, sad drive to Hofstra. And then, like, 2 to 3 blocks before is a Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
And every morning, almost every morning, while I'm looking out of the Blue Beetle, I would see old Long Island people protesting in front of the Planned Parenthood.
Yeah.
And it was the saddest protest I've ever seen. Because it would just be like these people, like their grandparents. They are legitimate grandparents standing in front of there with baby killer signs. And there's like 5 of them.
Yeah.
In an empty parking lot.
I don't think that's just
exclusive
to that.
No, it's not exclusive, but it's like it's jarring because...
You know what? Now that you mentioned, I think I've seen that.
Yeah.
I think I saw that once. And it was, yeah. I was like,
it's
very jarring.
It's jarring, especially if you grew up in an area where there wasn't, you know, necessarily a Planned Parenthood or a protest to it. It was very kind of like not really spoken about, but nothing really that, you know, big of a deal. And it was just weird. And just college culture in general is fucking weird to me. That whole culture, because it's very cult-like. The idea of school spirit to me is such bullshit. And if you love your school and you support your school, go ahead. But if it's this zombie cult-like mentality to where you have to support everything within the school, no.
Well, it's like, you know, not unlike sports fans.
No, yeah.
Where you just blindly support something and anyone else that's from another sports team or another city, Boston, New York, you just completely hate them for no reason. If you wear a Yankees cap in Boston and they tell you to go fuck your mother and they don't even know you. I mean, that's healthy.
I'm not saying that is
healthy. That's totally healthy.
That is...
You know, someone you know very well loves the, you know, let's just say the Mets for argument purposes and just hates an entire city and their team for no reason he's...
Well, that metaphorical person you're talking about. Now, I'm not this person, but that metaphorical person could come back with a retort saying the Phillies suck a dick.
Yes.
And Cole Hamels can eat my ass. But I'm not that person.
So not unlike that. It's similar when you get to a college and you just... There's, like, a lot of things in your life you'll feel, like, a connection to, but people just pick different things.
Yeah.
If you're religious and you feel really close to your church or your religion, you're like, this is the group I want to associate myself with.
Mm-hmm.
Who the fuck knows? If you're a doctor, you're like, I'm going to go to all the doctors' conventions and join, you know, volunteer at hospitals everywhere. Like, this is the community I'm part of.
God bless those people.
Or, like, it's just a lot of different things.
Yeah.
People who go to BronyCon, I don't know, people who love that show, this is the community I associate myself with. It's just you pick one and you just become obsessed with it and you just connect with it. Like, it's not just similar to college, it's similar to really anybody.
But it's just much like BronyCon, people at Hofstra who commingle and copulate are very scary, awkward, mythical creatures.
Like, I think it's healthier if you break into different groups. Like,
yeah.
Be well-versed in different groups.
I agree.
And different areas of life in general and different things. Hobbies?
Yeah.
Hobbies, yeah. That's the word.
Things of interest. But to go back to the things Emerson point that we started 5-6 minutes ago, I don't regret that decision. Because even though it was not, you know, the best year of my life by any stretch of the imagination, it was not a...
Where is Emerson again?
Boston.
That's what I thought. Okay.
Yeah. Actually, I saw something, Sarah Benacasa posted this on Twitter, that someone at Emerson is minoring in comedy. You can get a comedy minor.
Oh, that made me feel nauseous.
Oh, no.
That made me feel nauseous.
Are you sure it wasn't the milkshakes?
Well, do they mean the history of it? Because then that makes sense.
She just said that someone was minoring in comedy.
She also might have been sarcastic.
I don't know.
Because Hofstra had... a comedy class, and it wasn't what it sounds like. It was the history of it. Like, read, you know, we read this old French play, ooh, like the very beginning of satire, you know, like that's what they meant by a comedy class. Like, it was a history of it.
Shit, I should have took,
like,
that.
Where it started, like old, like this old French play. I don't even fucking remember most of it, but that's what that sounds like to me.
Yeah.
Like, if you study the history of it.
Yeah, that makes sense.
Or, like, if you study the types of it, vaudeville, ventriloquism, like, that's what I think of.
That makes,
like,
total
old
sense.
Burlesque shows where they would have, you know, people do acts and stuff in between dances. That's what I'm thinking.
Yeah, like where Lenny Bruce and Richard Pryor and all those guys got their start.
Like, if it's stuff like that, that's fine.
Yeah, and instead of it being a broken down comedian on a Wednesday night charging, what, $3,000?
I mean, they have those.
Yeah, I know they do. I know they do. No, but I think Siri wanted to have a conversation with us.
What the fuck is that? No one's talking to you, bitch! Enough!
This is half the time with us trying to deal with it.
Oh my god, I'm turning that phone off!
While that happened,
I'm turning her off. That was fucking scary.
While that happened, with that, to go to my point, me going to Hofstra allowed me to meet some of my close friends. It allowed me to do different things. It allowed me to get my current job. And it kind of led the pathway to meeting you. So I don't regret that decision. My life could have gone in 87 different ways, but I'm happy with the way it's going now.
Yeah.
Because fuck it. I get to do what I want.
You could have gone to a different, like, city, and you probably would have made it back here. Because I remember one of the like, I only submitted to Hofstra early decision because that was the first choice. I have no fucking idea why now. But it was because, which is still true, but my mom would always tell me that they had a really good theater program and the teachers always knew what they were talking about. That's actually true.
Yeah.
Like, that's still true. Because the teachers have nothing to do with the financial aid people or the administrative offices who are retards. But the teachers themselves, it's a separate thing from the actual school itself. But she would tell me that. I'm like, okay, then that sounds fine. And of course, you know, only 45 minutes from New York City. So I went there and I figured, well, if I don't get in there, I had another choice. And I think my second choice, because all the other New York colleges were, like, really expensive. Like, NYU was right out. And I remember reading about Columbia was all too expensive. Yeah. Barnard, I never heard of. Pace, I never heard of at the time. So Hunter was where my mom went. And I didn't want to fucking go down that ride. So the other one that and Ithaca was like, I remember reading it. I'm like, that's not even near the city.
if one of your options is the movie from Road Trip, don't do that.
So the other one I had was a place in Chicago. I think it's DePaul.
Yeah.
Which was no, they had like a theater program. I'm like, oh, okay. I just got something in the mail and I looked it up. Like, this is cool. All right, Chicago.
Good basketball school too. I can imagine you playing point guard for them and also being in their drama program.
But that would have been my second choice if I didn't get in there. That would have been very different. So I still wonder. I'm like, I don't even know if I would have still had the, because I would still probably be roughly the same person I am now.
Yeah.
Would I have the constitution to move an entire, like, pick up everything and leave the state that I graduated in to move to New York?
Mm-hmm.
Who knows? It depends who I met or whatever.
Yeah, I can say, like, I don't know if the same opportunities I have now would have been afforded to me if I moved. So, and I don't know what could have happened, but, you know, I'm happy with where I am in my life. A lot of bad decisions between conception and now, but I'm still here. I'm still doing stuff. Hopefully something that I've been working on the last couple of weeks is coming to fruition, and I'll be able to speak into a microphone more and ingratiate more people in my life and things I'm doing.
Oh, like the surgery?
Yes, the surgery. I'm pulling a Bruce Jenner, everybody. No, not that way. No. I'm just getting runner's legs. My dream is to be an Olympic decathlete.
You're switching your legs.
Yes, I'm just switching my legs. I'm getting better legs.
Get legs.
I'm getting better knees. I have the knees of an octogenarian. It's not good. Not good at all. But when it comes to regrets and all that stuff, which is a big topic on this show, regrets, because, like, regrets, decisions, like...
Yes, but when you say it that way, save for the fun.
I think it has been a fun conversation so far. I don't have many regrets, but you do. You're staring at one. Yeah, you're staring at one right now.
But I would. I'd give it. I'm like, do you want to go back to what, like, pick a time and go back and relive everything? Yeah, fuck it. Absolutely.
I'd be behind you kicking and screaming, holding onto your leg.
But like, yeah, absolutely. I don't like a lot of things I did. Fucking press the reset button. Mm. I'd be fine with that.
One thing I would regret, I regret doing is fucking up my computer this week. I was writing. I was staying over at Stephanie's house, and I was doing some work. And I was drinking a cup of coffee. Now own a new computer. That was
your
my
other
week.
One. You still have to re. Yeah, it's still in the living room.
I know. I know. It's. I understand that. I also have to figure out how to put the hard drive back in. Do a whole bunch of stuff. I am not a computer guy.
I think we can do that. I think it's still salvageable.
It is, but I'm not going to work on it now. I'll work on it sometime this week. Okay. I've got 85. I got to call volleyball tomorrow, which I am fucking panicking about. It's going to be an interesting experience. So this is no small talk, by the way. I'm Matt Ryan, joined as always by Stephanie Sotilli. That's what threw it off. That's how why it took us 31 minutes and 40 seconds to get to where we are right now.
I don't care.
I don't care either. Yeah, this is fun. Ever since we've just decided to not start with a question.
Don't care. Fun. Half an hour fun. Half an hour question. That's if Lana ran.
Yes, yes.
Is there that story where they bought Lana and Rusev from the WWE bought a house together in Nashville, and it was because it's in the middle of the country, so it's easier to fly out from everywhere. So I just kept imitating like the equidistant left, east, west doesn't matter, same distance from house.
Are you sure it's not because of their love of country music? I can imagine Rusev listening to some fucking George Jones and having a really good time.
What is this?
What is this country boy can
welcome
survive?
Welcome to the neighborhood. Where are y'all from? Just, I can't even. That's what's good. I brought y'all some muffin. What is muffin? This is mini cake. What is muffin?
Y'all want to come over some cookout?
But what cook out what? You cook in kitchen.
No, it's
kitchen in house, equidistant from west and east. That's all I kept doing.
Oddly enough, me and Stephanie are working on a comedy routine. It's borscht and belt.
I don't know why. That's just so funny to me. Just picture their stone faces with, like the neighbor in The Riches just coming over, like, oh, what's going on? I don't know if you ever saw The Riches.
I have not, but I know what you're talking
about. Yeah, the FX show from years ago is Eddie Izzard and Minnie Driver, and they're con artists. And it's all in the first episode. They con their way into living this dead man's life. So they go to this really fancy house, and their neighbor's like this like really nice like southern gal, like her name is Nina or Nina, it's Nina. She's like, how are you guys doing? She befriends them, and these are just con artists.
Yeah. Hey.
That's it. Her, I think her husband was buying alpacas to start a farm, and she had access to pills.
Lovely.
Like fancy pills.
Ooh.
So that was
how fancy? Like, were they gilded? Like, golden pills?
Yes.
Ooh.
Yes. They were cheese pills. And I remember no one... What always annoyed me... No, don't flip me off. And no one paid attention to Eddie Izzard's British accent. I'm like, just... Minnie Driver had this... She's British. But she, for some reason, they gave her the strongest southern accent you fucking could give somebody. The kids had no accents. There were three children they had. They had no accents, and then you have this British man. And they're supposed to be from, like, Louisiana. And no one paid attention to it. That's the only problem I had. Eh. Besides that show is brilliant. But besides that, I'm like, why does no one pay attention or ask this dude what part of England he's from?
You said dude like I said dude. I'm very proud of you. But shows like that are interesting. I need to watch more shows like that, where there's, like, a lot of these shows now, like, on The Wire. I don't mean to bring up The Wire incessantly, but the guy that played Stringer...
Wire Breaking Bad, yes, we know.
I've rarely mentioned Breaking... I don't watch Breaking...
I'm not making fun of you, it's making fun of people, those types of people who love the, you know...
The Wire is amazing television.
I'm sure.
It's fucking great. It's fucking amazing. The second season is a great season. People don't give it the credit it deserves because the villains were white.
What?
The second season, it was all based around unions and stuff. So.
Oh.
It was not a
bad... That sounds riveting.
See, that's why no one gives it a goddamn chance. That's my fucking problem. No one gives it a chance. And it's annoying and it's disingenuous.
It's okay. The show's over now.
I know.
Do you want to talk about the irritating ending of Oh my God, what was the name of that show?
Lost?
The Sopranos?
Oh, good Lord.
We can all talk about the show. The endings of relevant TV shows.
That show.
Start with The Sopranos.
That show was a season too long. But go back to
our Friends. Oh my God, she got off the plane. You want to keep going?
I don't have tape I'm running on. We can go on that. I don't give a shit. I don't have to be anywhere for another 8 hours. But going back to what I was saying, a Baltimore drug kingpin. Most British sounding man you've ever fucking heard. But there's so many British, like Henry Cavill is Superman, Andrew Garfield's fucking Spider-Man.
Yeah.
Most of our superheroes are British now.
House was Hugh Laurie.
I know.
Not Hugh Grant.
Yes. I'm sorry. The name of this episode is probably going to be Hugh Laurie, not Grant. I get it. Fucking care. Next thing you know, I'll say Cary Elwes instead of Cary Grant. I don't fucking care. My show. I can do what I want. I can be wrong.
Yes, Cary Elwes had that very tiny, thin black mustache.
Yes, he did. And it's being played by Kevin Kline in a movie that Facebook is promoting the shit out of. I keep seeing dedicated ads for Kevin Kline playing Errol Flynn in a movie. Mm-hmm. I don't care. I love Kevin Kline. Great actor. He was very good in Fierce Creatures.
In and Out.
In and Out as well.
He's known for...
I think he's known for a little bit
In
more
out,
than that. Marrying Phoebe Cates.
What the fuck was the name of that movie where he was sick and he was building a house next door to his ex-wife and Hayden Christensen played his goth son? Something about a house. The glass. Something about... I don't remember what it
something
was.
Something with a dress. Something about a dress.
It wasn't the house on the left.
Door to me. I don't know. I've never heard... Are you sure that wasn't a fever dream?
No, it's a real movie. I watched it in class. I don't remember the point or why, but I remember watching it in class. And me and my friend Anika were like, why is Hayden Christensen so attractive with eyeliner? This is uncomfortable. Why is this a thing?
Many people ask that same question in episode 2 of Star Wars. The show every week, we ask questions and we try to get answers from them.
About men and eyeliners.
Yes, men, eyeliners, a lot of talk about Robert Smith and The Cure. But we also ask questions from Hypertheticals, which is a thing put together by the lovely Chuck Klosterman, a fellow ginger-bearded gentleman.
Really?
Yeah, he's got a beard.
I know it's a ginger beard.
Yeah, I just listened to him on the BS Report, one of my favorite sports podcasts with Bill Simmons, talking about sports, and actually recommended a book that I'm working on getting an interview for right now. But he's a great mind. And every week, while Stephanie puts the card on her head, we read from these cards and we try to answer the questions he poses.
Yes.
Stephanie, what's our question?
Okay. Well, I like this one since we were comparing our past selves to now. So I thought this was related.
What's the name?
Joe Sixpack. You are placed in the unenviable position of having to compete for the right to stay alive. You will be matched against a person of your own gender in a series of 5 events. An 800-meter run, a game of Scrabble, a 3-round boxing match, a debate over the legalization of late-term abortion, scored and officiated by reputable collegiate judges, and the math portion of the SAT.
Oh, fuck.
In order to survive, you must win at least 3 of these events. Your opponent will be playing for his or her life as well. However, you kind of get to pick your opponent. You can either compete against a person selected at random, or B, compete against someone who is exactly like you. If selected at random, the individual could be of any age or skill level. He or she might be an infant with Down syndrome, but this person might also be an academic All-American linebacker from Notre Dame. If you pick the average human, he or she will be precisely your age and will have an identical level of education. The person will be a perfect cross-section of your particular demographic. He or she will be of average height and of average weight, with a standard IQ and the most normative life experience imaginable. So whom do you select? Or perhaps more accurately, do you feel that you are better than an average version of yourself?
What are the events again?
An 800-meter run.
Okay.
A game of Scrabble.
Okay.
A 3-round boxing match. A debate over abortion.
Mm-hmm.
Or, and the math portion of the SATs. So you have to win 3 out of 5 of those.
I can probably win at least 2 of those.
Well, who are you selecting?
I'm picking the average. Really? I think I can take an average version of me. Not because I'm so great, but I'm very good at talking. Therefore, I think a debate with something that I'm very passionate about, such as women's rights and the right to choose and all that razzmatazz. You know, I'm passionate about it because I use the word razzmatazz. Boxing, I understand the elements of boxing, and I would just try to get the guy in the corner and beat the shit out of his ribs for 3 rounds. With Scrabble, I'm pretty decent with words. The math portion of the
meters. How long is 800 meters in miles?
Fuck if I know.
Okay, you keep going. I'm gonna find out what that is.
No, but if it, I would rather not chance the random. And also because the random is a riskier proposition, and even though it's a riskier proposition, the odds are not in your favor. You've got a better set. You've got an evener set of odds.
It's basically like, yeah, how do you feel about yourself? And yeah. I don't feel that good. So I think if selected at random, you probably will find someone better. Probably find someone better who has a better sense of the world, maybe remembers math better. Yeah. Like, I'm good, but I don't know what the fuck's in the SAT nowadays for math. I have no clue. I don't remember any formulas except for the A squared plus B squared equals C squared. It's the only thing I remember. For Scrabble, I'm terrible at Scrabble. I'm not really good.
Are we just co-signing to the fact that we're gonna die if this thing is true? I feel like we're resigning to that fate. But no, I'd rather pick the average person, the average variation of me.
Of you.
Yeah, because I feel like I can take the average version of me. I'd have to go to the gym for about a month, but...
Yeah, the average version of me is I feel, going to be... thinner,
yeah,
and have maybe a better vocabulary and be able to run faster. Maybe in the fighting I could take them.
Honey, you're insane. You'll kill them in the fight.
No, the fight I got.
You're going to
the boxing match I got. I know how to like stance in boxing. So for some reason, my dad taught me that when I was little, like how to like the boxing stance, like one fist by your jaw, one fist out, like ready.
Well, because honey, you were a problem at all stages of your life.
How?
Because we've talked about this at the prom, you almost got into a fucking fist fight because that woman was throwing shade at
I
you.
I didn't get into a fist
fight. No, but just in case, you being you, and I love you, but you...
I don't start shit, I finish.
No, that's why. You're
that's the point.
He taught
that's
you to finish
whole,
shit.
Yes, that's the whole point.
That's what I was saying.
I was 8 years old. You don't teach a girl to box. It's weird.
I learned boxing at 8. I was boxing at 8. I learned at the gym at the Sunset Park pool. I wasn't good at it, but I remember, you know, learning how to box and enjoying the smell of a gym, which was awkward and uncomfortable to admit out loud. But that essentially is what I was up for. I think I could take my average self in boxing, and I think you could too.
No, I'm saying the fighting thing I could do because I'm very fast and I don't fight like a girl.
No.
And if they're saying this is like an average girl with a more normal life.
Yeah.
Like, all they're going to do is, like, try to pull hair.
Mm-hmm.
I'm like, okay, that's great. You can go do that. I know how to actually knock somebody out, so I'm going to go do that.
So I don't want to watch this now. Kind of want to watch that.
And I looked it up. 800 meters is half a mile. It's a little under half a mile.
That's not bad.
Yeah.
Half a mile's not bad.
That's a run.
Yeah.
I don't know if I could run.
I'd jog it.
So that would be running for... because I can do a mile... in like 14 minutes,
mm-hmm.
which is not good, but...
Can I hit
that's them? Like half jogging, half running, half walking it, so maybe just running it, like, so that's... I have to run for 6 minutes.
Yeah. Can I hit them with a bit of wood?
A bit of wood.
just to protect myself.
I think the debate I'd do really well.
Yeah, the debate.
I think the debate I'd... See, but then if it's judged, like... Well, if it's people who are average, like, if I... Because I... think now I would pick the average version of me.
Yeah.
So if that's true, they're gonna... I think they would know less.
Yeah, I think you'd have a better shot than you're giving yourself credit
for. Because
nobody
can, like, spout out, you know, specific facts about court, you know,
yeah,
court dates or anything like that or specific incidents. I don't think really the average person can do that.
No.
Unless you're a lawyer and you studied that. No. So, no, I could probably do that. So that and the running. Not the running. That and the boxing. And then the other ones are a fucking crapshoot. I have no idea which one I would.
I've got faith in myself in winning at least three of those against an average version of me. Because the average version of me is a kid that grew up in Brooklyn, is 25 years old.
Florida.
Yes.
Mia South, Florida.
Community college graduate. Was in and out of college.
College graduate.
Was not a great, student.
Right. Honors.
Yeah.
I was an honor student in high school. I wasn't gifted. No, I don't give a shit. Nobody cared.
No, that's great. It's great if we have kids. Hopefully they get your brains, your looks, and your fucking left hook.
I'm right-handed.
I know, but I'm left-handed.
My right hook.
No, because your left hook's probably more powerful than my left hook.
Okay, so they'll have hooks.
Yes.
Wait a minute. No, don't listen to that. That means God will make them born with hooks like a pirate.
Yes.
I don't want a pirate baby.
Why not? It'd be fun.
I don't want a pirate baby, and then I'm going to have to fucking fight in a boxing match, according to this card.
You're going
to
fight a baby?
This says if you pick somebody at random, it could be a baby.
I've got an idea.
Also, which means you have to hit a baby.
All right, so I'm going to need a baby. Those two, you go to Party City. I'm going to need two pirate hooks. I'm going to need a ring. I can get a ring. And I'm going to need two babies, and I'm going to need a Don King wig. I think I can make a lot of money off of this. If you'd like to...
Pirate baby boxing match.
Exactly.
The fuck we got there?
I don't know, but I kind of want to see that happen. I will pay a lot of money to make that happen.
So, yes, I do. I do think I am a better version in certain aspects.
Yes.
Because, I don't know. I still feel like I'd lose in that running thing.
Mm.
Because I am above average in weight.
Yeah.
So, I don't think I'd have, I'm not in shape. So, I think somebody else, I can run pretty fast, but it's in sprints.
Yeah.
To beat somebody in a race, I sincerely doubt
it. The whole thing is about pacing yourself. The whole thing is about finding what works and finding ways around it. Like, basically, you have to bullshit your way through three of these five things to get it to win. Like, boxing... You just got to win on points. So if you just find an effective strategy, do the fucking Ali, bob and weave, fucking float like a butterfly, sting like a bee, and just go in and out and find the right way to just get them and not get gassed. And also, if it's three rounds, it's 3 2-minute rounds, so you just got to last 6 minutes. So I think we've got this. I think we've got this. Have you ever gotten into a fight?
No, I'm thinking. Not necessarily.
Mm-hmm.
Basically two almost fights.
Huh.
When I was little. And they were roughly around... One of them was when I was 9 years old and it wasn't technically a fight. I don't remember what happened and I don't remember what led up to it.
Yeah.
I just remember I had my friend at the time. She was a year younger than me. And we met at this after school program. So, she was so I remember just... really, really overly energetic to sometimes where you wanted to strangle her.
Mm-hmm.
And the teachers, too. She was fucking all over the place. I don't remember what happened. I just remember the moment where I was so fucking mad. And she was sitting on the bench, on the playground. And I walked up to her and fucking punched her as hard as I could. And I remember, though, I made the choice. This was not on accident. I made the choice to punch her in the shoulder and not the face because I didn't want to, hurt her so much. Just enough so that I, taught her a lesson. I made that thought in my head.
You in fucking prison?
However, her face was slightly turned toward the part of her shoulder. So, part of my fist... clipped her jaw.
Oh, honey.
So she didn't get totally hurt, but you're a kid, so you have loose teeth. So I knocked out one of her loose teeth.
Oh my God.
So I didn't feel bad. I'm like, well, it was loose. I didn't fucking do that. It would have come out anyway. What I found funny is that she understood that I did it because I was mad. So she didn't, the teacher asked her what happened. She's like, oh, we were just playing and cartwheeling and she accidentally kicked me. She didn't sell me out, which I thought was fucking weird. I didn't care, also.
The fuck were you in? The white supremacists? You in, some sort grade school, after school gang?
I don't remember anything. I don't remember what she said. I don't remember what drove me that fucking mad that I would just walk up to someone and punch them with all my might. Really? I don't remember.
You're fucking... I'm impressed. I once changed...
It hasn't happened again, but it probably, like, could. I mean, maybe.
I'm going to start wearing shoulder pads around now.
I mean, not, like, you know, now it sucks because we're adults and people can sue us and all that stupid shit. Like, if they're...
Yeah, for violent outbursts. Oh, no.
Well, some people fucking need a lesson and some people don't understand unless, you know, when you're an adult, it's like, all right, sometimes you're not going to understand. You're being a dick unless I punch you in the face. You're that far gone that this is the only way that I have to defend myself.
Thank God that's not a thing because there'd be a lot of broken jaws.
That you can sue people. Yeah. But when you're a kid, like, you know, if kids are assholes and they're bullies,
law of the
you
jungle.
Have fucking, you should have full right. This guy's being a dick and always is going to punch him in the face.
Mm, yeah, I
because sometimes they're not going to fucking sit down. And certainly not maybe by their parents or a psychologist, but not someone their peer.
No.
They're like not going to listen to, let's sit down and talk and figure out what's wrong. No, they're not going to understand that. They're just going to want to be a douchebag to you until, like, all right, I'm going to kick you in the face. Oh, and the other one, because you asked me.
Yeah.
The other one, again, was not a fight, per se, was it? I had a best friend in middle school, and she was best friend. I already hate this. I hate girls. She had another best friend that I did not like.
Mm-hmm.
But it's fine. I didn't really have to spend that much time with her. We had, like, two or three mutual friends, and we were at lunch. Our friend, the one that I was best friends with, she was not there for the day for some reason. This girl, again, I don't like her. Like, she's just a little just fucking cunt. Like, I just didn't like her. So she just annoyed me. So for some, and I was 12. Mm-hmm. I'll preface that because this was 7th grade. So she's sitting, like, I went to go get something. I went back to the lunch table and she's in my seat. Can you please move? My stuff is there. Like, no, I'm not gonna. Please move or I will make you move. She didn't move. So I grabbed her hair, twisted her hair, pulled her to the ground, like, from, like, her lunch seat to the floor. And then she's like, all right, no, please, please, I don't want to get in a fight. I don't want to get in trouble. All right, fine. And she fucking moved. Not necessarily a fight, but just like, don't, wrong day today. I just dragged her to the ground. I remember the other two or three mutual friends that we had. They thought that was the funniest shit they ever saw. They would spend the next week telling me, oh my God, that was so fucking hilarious. Because they didn't like her either.
What? Yikes. Just yikes.
What?
I don't
know. It's the quietest I've ever heard you. I think that's what confused me.
No, because I've heard these stories before. I'm just interested in it. And I'm visualizing what's going on. Because I'm just getting the blow-by-blow in my head. And I'm just trying to figure it all out. Because you seemed like such a sweet child.
No, I was. But again, if you push me, it's also a ticking time. Okay, wrong day today.
Then I have a few stories like that. I forget. I was in elementary school. I don't know what grade I was in. And I don't remember the situation surrounding it, but there was this one kid who got on my nerves so much that I grabbed a mop.
Why were you near a mop?
It was in the lunchroom.
Like where mops are.
No, I think because something happened, like, just in case they needed to clean it up or something.
Oh, okay, with food.
Yeah.
Food fights.
Yes. That didn't come till the 7th grade. There were a lot of food fights in 7th grade.
Right.
No, but I grabbed the mop. And I chased him around the lunchroom through the hallway.
Yes.
To one of the, because the elementary school I went to had three gyms. They had one main, like, a real gym, and then they had, like, two mini gyms where they held, like, different classes where you, like, pushed yourself on, like, carts and did weird, like, parachute games and shit. It was for the little kids. It was like these little, like, stools, like, with wheels on them.
The scooter things.
Yeah, exactly what they're.
I remember.
Yeah. This is the most I thought about, like, this time of my life in a long time. And I chased him through that, and I don't remember what happened. I don't remember getting in trouble for it, but I do remember that. And I also remember a time in 7th grade where a kid spit on a door handle. I was coming upstairs, and I felt it on my door handle.
Ow.
Felt it in my hand.
Ow.
And I chased him. And I was going to murder him.
And did I did he just outrun you?
I know he ended up running into a class, or he was in a class. I found out who did it. I went because this kid didn't like me, and he treated me like dog shit.
real, this is why they need punches in the face.
Like an Italian Benson Hurst stereotype. He was a real dickbag.
This is why some of them need punches in the face by your peers. And then when you go home, your parents can figure out how they fucked up. And they can
exactly. No. Yeah, this shit happened all the time. Not all the time, but it happened enough to where some of the stuff burns in my memory.
Yeah.
But it's all very cloudy. Like, fuck. This is like all... This is like around 2001, 2002. So this is over 13 years ago at this point. So a lot of these memories are just washed away. I can tell you who won WrestleMania 4, but I can't tell you these certain memories.
Yes, I know.
It's not a good thing, but no, it's just how my I was actually having a conversation with a kid I know, a guy named Steven, who's in one of my classes at NYU, and we know each other through mutual friends, and we're in a couple of classes together, and we were just having this conversation, like, yeah, we don't remember certain things, but we can tell you who won every WrestleMania, the main event of every WrestleMania.
Yeah, you're wrong.
No, it's...
But...
No, but it's because of what we love and what we obsess over. I think that's the larger trend of it, is that we would rather prioritize these memories because they give us a certain emotional connection and an emotional feel. I'm not saying that certain things aren't more important. Like, I should remember geometry and algebra more than I do fucking...
I mean, no. Nobody needs that.
No, but for where I am now...
We don't need that shit now.
No, but but there are certain things that, like, my memory should prioritize over fucking who the fuck Butch Reed is. But I remember who Butch Reed is, and reading, I read a story about him on the train today, about him almost winning the Intercontinental title, and I was very interested.
So you could have read, like, a book.
I know.
Instead of that.
No, it was just like, it was a quick article in between me listening to stuff, and basically I was jotting down notes.
What were you listening to?
That Chuck Klosterman podcast.
Okay. Yeah. What do you normally listen to?
It depends, to be honest with you. It depends upon... It does. It really depends. Because sometimes I'll listen to a comedy podcast, like I'll listen to The Best Show, or I'll listen to a sports podcast, or I'll listen to something else. It really depends upon the day and what I'm interested in. Like,
I was just getting to the point that you should be reading books.
I know I should be reading books.
Outside of your comfort zone.
I've read a lot of books in my life, and I try to read more outside my comfort zone. Right now, like, I was just listening to something because I was really interested in the interviews that I was listening to today. And I wanted to get caught up on The Bugle, and I haven't heard a new episode in two weeks.
So it's mostly sports books.
Yeah, I understand that. But what I do for my job allows me to read a lot of those books, and that's what I find interesting. You find fiction and nonfiction interesting. You find fiction interesting. I love writing and creating fiction, but I like learning...
A bunch
learning.
Of different varied stories from different authors is not the same thing.
I'm not comparing it. I'm just saying, like, where my interests are not, you know... I have varied interests, but there are certain things that I kind of like learning about more than other things. They're just, like, my passions. Mm-hmm. And it's silly. Like... I shouldn't obsess.
That's why you're going to fail this Scrabble game in this life competition.
I actually...
Because you're not going to get letters that only spell sports terms. You got to expand your mind.
I try.
And read other things.
Look,
that's how you grow vocabulary.
I understand that. And as a person who worked in a
business... I don't think the average me would have read The Bell Jar or Wuthering Heights or The Fountainhead. Doubt it.
Well, I don't think the average...
Or most of Chuck Palahniuk's stuff.
Yeah, and I don't know...
I don't think the average person would have read that. I don't know how that's going to help me in Scrabble, but it might.
It might. He has a very definitive vocabulary and a very interesting writing style.
Yeah.
And I
his
don't know...
His dad was murdered, which is weird.
Lovely.
His dad and his girlfriend were murdered in a cabin.
Classy. That's...
So, he's... It's a... His work comes from a very special place in his brain.
I can imagine. And this show comes from a very special place in our brains. And you can listen to it every Monday at noon on iTunes or Stitcher. You can shoot us an email at nosmalltalkpodcast@gmail.com. You can follow us on Twitter at nosmalltalkpod. That's all together. And on Facebook, you can search No Small Talk. You can also find us online at nosmalltalkpodcast.wordpress.com. And the other things we do, such as KY, which comes out every Thursday at 11 p.m., follow the web of Wibbly. This week's episode will be going up Thursday night at 11. But if you want to catch up and listen to last week's episode, Stephanie actually plays the caller on this week's episode, and she plays a raging feminist, which kind of went in line to last week's No Small Talk.
Yeah, it was a lot of I'm angry at ladies.
Yes.
Because you're all stupid.
Well, if you
all can act real stupid.
If you want to hear that, listen to the iTunes feed of last week's show. You can follow KY on Twitter at KY Radio. You can also subscribe to it on Stitcher and iTunes as well. If you want to download it directly, go to kyradio.wordpress.com. Facebook is KY Radio. If you want to email us, kyradiostation@gmail.com. And with both podcasts, if you are on iTunes or Stitcher, please, please give us a rating, tell us what you think, and subscribe. That's the only way we know if this show is growing, and if you are out there, we know there are people out there. We get comments on the show all the time, and they're all pretty positive.
Shockingly.
Yes, people like listening to us talk and being ourselves. It's awkward. It's uncomfortable.
It's really weird. I won't ever take... I had someone a long time ago just like one time stop me, because I think I was in an improv group with him, and just one time he's just like... like, put his hand on the bar, like, you can't take compliments, can you? I'm like, no. like, I can't. Even if it's something small, I will at least, whisper out a meh.
Like
you do that all the time. I'm like, no, you're pretty. Meh. Like, if something as small as that, even if I won't say, no, you're fucking crazy, it'll be meh. Like, there will be some form of protest, is what I'm saying.
Yes. You have amazing eyes, and I love you.
See? I can't even... that wasn't even planned.
Good Lord.
That's just my reaction to that. So, you know, make me feel less awkward and compliment
exactly.
us and me by, you know, subscribing and giving us a rating, because then you won't have to hear me protesting that and making that awkward man noise.
Exactly.
You can just be reading it in iTunes world.
Yes, and support Stephanie in everything she does by going to our website, stephaniesotilli.com. You can follow her on Twitter at Steph Sotilli. That's H-S-O-T-T-I-L-E on the Twitter machine. Follow her because she is funny, amazing, and the best thing to happen to me since the, well, coming out of the womb.
Oh, like bicentennial.
Yes.
The bicentennial. No? Go for? Falling of the... Berlin Wall?
Yeah, there we go. That's the David Hasselhoff in his shiny blinky jacket, which I wrote about in my Regents. Yes, since the White Album. I wrote about David Hasselhoff and Bill O'Reilly in my U.S. Regents papers.
Because they're lovers?
Yes. And no, they're not. No, then don't sue us. Don't sue us, you pieces of shit. No, but I wrote about them in my Regents paper. I did not study for that test, and I somehow got a 98.
Because they're lovers.
Yes.
You know what you're talking about.
Shut up. Shut the fuck up. Speaking of lovers, I would love it if you follow us on Twitter at Steph Sotilli, and I am the king of transition at Matt Ryan. I'm Matt Ryan on Twitter as I transition into the plugs. You can follow us on Twitter, and I'm Matt Ryan at Steph Sotilli. Again, do that. I'm going to keep saying it till you do it. I'm going to keep saying it. I'm not going to stop. This episode is going to be 9 hours long. Also,
people who subscribe or look at the feed, like, what the fuck happened? Did they just leave the record button on? It's like, I'm gonna hear just
us
them
sleeping.
Snoring, yeah.
Oh, yeah, I go to the bathroom. You want any water?
Chubby, you wanna go outside?
What?
Me talking to my dog. And then us, and then you guys hearing us imitate my dog as if he's talking back.
Yes.
Which is that's probably one of the craziest things. I didn't even do that to my cats when I was younger, and I, like, raised, like, 20 different cats. And I knew they're all different, they all have personalities, but not once did I, like, personify them.
Because dogs are better.
And made them have voices.
Because dogs are better, that's the inherent part of the argument.
I'm gonna punch you in the shoulder / jaw, because I'm an expert at it.
If you're listening to this on Monday, go to my website, imattryan.com. You can see my schedule for the rest of this month. I'll be doing volleyball play-by-play commentary for John Jay. Also got some stuff coming up with Jersey Championship Wrestling. I will be doing an interview this week on my 22 Weeks podcast with Mort Zachter, the author of a book, Gil Hodges, A Hall of Fame Life, and we'll have a bunch of more great interviews coming up with Kent McDill, who wrote a book about the Chicago Bulls, and a bunch of other cool stuff, and an announcement may be coming, maybe, about some other cool stuff that I'm working on that Stephanie will end up being a part of as well, regarding stuff that I've done in the past and maybe we'll do again in the future. Who knows? I don't know. But it's going to be cool. It's going to be awesome. And this Saturday, we'll be both in Baltimore, Maryland. So if you're listening to the show in Baltimore and you're at the Ring of Honor show, wave at Stephanie and say hello and wave at me.
Come say hi.
Come say hi. Buy Steph a beer and buy me some... Buy me a beer then.
Ice cream.
After the show. Yes, buy Stephanie ice cream.
You don't
cream.
Have to buy me anything. Just say hi.
Just say hi. and as soon as Steph said that, she put her head down like very like, oh, shucksy. And I think on that note, once we've gotten Steph to the aw shucks moment, we're going to wrap this show up. Thank you so much once again for sticking with us for over an hour a week.
Because it's
going to
start playing.
Yes. While that happens and dog barks, this has been this edition of No Small Talk. That's Stephanie Satilli. I'm Matt Ryan. This has been the No Small Talk podcast.